Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Wolves Podcast for July 25th. I'm Tom Schreier, co-founder of ZoneCoverage.com, and with me on the line, as always, is Colt Molesky. Colton, there's some serious news here in the NBA world. How crazy is all this? Just kind of as a basketball fan, just to get started, the NBA dominating headlines and really the NFL, and not making light of this at all, the NFL, really the news coming out of there, obviously is the excitement around training camp, and you've been down in Mankato doing some Viking stuff, but it's sadly this CTE report that has come out. I mean, just as a basketball guy who also understands football, has been down in Mankato, how crazy is this that the NBA is kind of dominating the headlines still?
It is crazy, and I'm also enjoying it so much that first the NFL figured out how to be a 12-month sport, and now the NBA has followed right in suit. And I think they've done a really good job, too, because not only is it injuries that are on the headlines, and so people are caring about maybe who's starting for the team, who's not going to be there, but more than that, it's about trades and about who's going where in free agency. So it's impact stuff that doesn't have to do with players not seeing the court. It has to do with who's going to which team and why they're going there. We have this whole Kyrie drama, which we'll get to later. But there's just so many good reasons to love all this NBA news, and it's happening so late into the season. It's pretty cool if you're a big basketball fan, a big NBA fan, to see the sport that you enjoy watching take over the media this much and be interesting for this long after it's done with the actual play on the court.
You know, it's funny, earlier today while you were down in Mankato, we got a few guys down there, Arif Hassan, Sam Ekstrom, Luke Inman. They're grinding away there with training camp stuff. You know, I was doing a show with Brandon, our baseball guy, and it was funny that he really was not a basketball fan, at least not a huge one. Grew up in Roseau, Minnesota. That's kind of hockey town, right on the border of Canada. And he, you know, kind of always a hockey baseball guy, obviously huge, huge baseball guy. And he's like, man, I really could care less about the Wild right now. And the Wolves like have me hooked. It's funny. I always want to put that in perspective. Just like kind of where the NBA is going. We always talk about the TV deal, Harden's big contract, Curry's big contract. Obviously here in Minnesota, what Tibbs is doing and bringing over Butler. But yeah, there's a lot of headlines to choose from. What stands out to you the most here?
Well, first of all, just that not only is NBA having people hooked, but the Timberwolves specifically tripping over here. It's been a long day for me covering training camp and basketball stuff. I apologize. Specifically, the Timberwolves have people hooked. Alex Berg did a really good job kind of articulating why Minnesota is now a destination in his article that he wrote. I believe it was 2 days ago that was published, maybe three. But he does a really good job breaking that down. Shout out to Alex. It was a great piece by him. But Minnesota is a destination. Kyrie Irving was there as one of his four teams that he wanted to be traded to. So not only is basketball still interesting, but the Minnesota Timberwolves are right there with one of the most interesting teams this offseason, and that's got to be exciting for Timberwolves fans out there.
Yeah, completely. I mean, Alex did a good job writing. We were really ramping up the Wolves content, keeping that, you know, in mind, even with football, the hype there, Twins still being relevant, all that. We're really still pumping out Wolves content at ZoneCoverage.com. Yeah, he kind of talked about Minnesota being a destination. It's always been that theory that, you know, 15th largest TV market, not, you know, this isn't Hollywood, this isn't New York. And it being cold, you kind of learn, hey, you know what, if the teams do their job, they can be in the mix. I'm with you. I think it's exciting that we're not just, you know, we talked before the podcast and I said we got to kind of localize. It's not like we're stretching to localize. Like, Minnesota's in the news. It's so funny hearing, you know, Bill Simmons and Lowe and all these, you know, NBA people, these huge NBA people talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves because you have to. That's a credit to Tibbs. We talked about Crawford kind of giving him validation, Butler giving him validation. Kyrie is just another guy in that along that line. And the funny thing is, I think this, as long as Tibbs can execute next year, I think that the talk will go away from will Cat stay to kind of, you know, it puts a little more pressure on Cat. He's got to live up to expectations too. I think he will. I think he's a generational talent, but it's no longer is he too good for us. It's can he carry his weight when the team gets that much better? Has been overhauled. You have any thoughts? Just kind of Timberwolves being in the mix and whatnot.
I think it's also encouraging too that we not only got a star in Jimmy Butler, but we got an ambassador for the team. So
yeah,
one
completely.
Of the quotes in Alex's article was that, when he talked about not only is he coming, but he's calling people that are better than him, not to mention a guy who's humble enough to realize that there are basketball players better than him out there. I think that's tough for a lot of basketball players to say, but he's getting basketball players better than him to try and come to the Timberwolves. So I think that when we got Jimmy Butler as a city, we got more than just a really good defensive player and a really good offensive talent and a really good leader. We got somebody who's going to go out there, and when he's playing pickup games with these all-star talents, and when he's texting them, and when they're hanging out and going to dinners, he's not saying, "Oh, a guy, go back to Minneapolis." He's saying, "Hey, come with me back to Minneapolis. We're building something there that's really special and that could have a chance at toppling the Warriors. I want you to come with me and be part of this." And I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, you know, even we should mention Jeff Teague. These guys that are you know, will be central to winning, or kind of will make and break the team. I mean, they're demanding to come here. This isn't a sell job. I think it's important to create a contrast here. We were talking off the air about, you know, I joked with my friend from Cleveland. We used to both be like, yeah, we're kind of both from loser town, right? And all of a sudden, Cleveland wins the championship, and he thinks that it's going to change everything. And we've learned it hasn't. The Cleveland Cavaliers are still a dysfunctional organization. ESPN has three writers, three of their best writers, writing a giant feature on Cleveland and their issues. Kyrie Irving wants to leave. You know, Minnesota's part of that list. Probably the surprise team. How likely do you think it is that he can come over? And just what does it mean to you kind of generally with all this Kyrie news?
That whole situation is interesting, mostly because I think people forget that Cleveland doesn't have to trade him. He's still under contract
right.
for 2 years. So he doesn't have to go anywhere. But at the same time, do you really want a guy who asked to leave and asked to not be in LeBron's shadow on the team for 82 games? That's also a very strange locker room situation. So if they really feel like they have to get rid of him to make this work, then you're looking at, and I wrote this in the piece about Kyrie coming to the Timberwolves, you're looking at giving up the Utah pick and Wiggins as probably the two main pieces that you have to give up, because Teague and Crawford, you can't move. So if you're Tom Thibodeau, are you willing to give up Wiggins? Because I think the Utah pick you got to deal away. You're not looking for draft picks. Are you willing to deal Wiggins and then have Jeff Teague and Kyrie Irving on the team? And I think if you're the Timberwolves, I think you got to say yes. I really love Wiggins. I think that he is an underrated defender, and I think that his offensive game has nowhere to go but up, and I think he's going to look a lot better being on the second best player on the opposing teams as opposed to guarding the first best player. But the things Kyrie can do offensively and the way he plays in the half court offensively is something special, and he's one of the top point guards in the NBA, and I think it'd be a mistake to pass up on him just to keep a high upside guy around. I mean, it's not like Kyrie's near the end of his game. He's only 25 years old.
Right.
So you can have Kyrie around for a while and have this amazing offensive talent. And yes, he is really bad defensively, but I think you take that offense and you roll the dice with the rest of the guys playing defense.
Yeah, I think the Wiggins thing is really interesting. Normally, if we're not talking Kyrie Irving, I'd say don't touch Wiggins. I think he has a lot of upside. To break it down a little bit, and I'll let you kind of piggyback off of this. In my opinion, I think you pull the trigger on the move. I say that knowing that Wiggins has a lot more to offer defensively. I think the problem is that's a huge question mark. It's a huge question mark as to can Tibbs get through to him? Does he focus all the time? What happens with Butler? I don't think there's a lot of question if he can score. I don't think he's going to be a stat stuffer, but it really, how this comes back to bite you is he goes and plays, it becomes this lockdown defender, and all of a sudden you're like, I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, how much of a concern is that to you, that Wiggins goes and becomes a star somewhere else, kind of the classic Minnesota story, really, Minnesota sports story?
I would be less concerned about Wiggins being a star somewhere else and more concerned that Kyrie got to the Timberwolves and then realized that Butler was the main guy and he got stuck in another Cleveland scenario and wanted to leave the next year afterwards. And so now you're stuck with, you gave up Wiggins, who could be a guy who's an all-star a few times and was just fine being the second guy or the third guy.
Completely.
And now you're stuck with a guy who wants to get traded a year after being traded out of his scenario with LeBron. And so I think that's a much more realistic scenario of what could happen if Kyrie comes rather than Wiggins being this guy who really bites. And I think he will be a good player, but I think if you can make it work with Kyrie, you might have to roll the dice, but you also have to know that that's a very real possibility that could happen.
Here's an argument I'm going to make, and we actually, I was talking about discussing this topic on the Mike Talks Big podcast. This is, you know, Michael Knight, longtime radio guy, Mike Gelfand, who is the most negative person you'll find. He knows it too. I literally was talking to him a couple hours ago. He's fine. He knows it. And he'll tell you about how, hey, look, Kyrie might want to leave. He might not get along with Butler. Butler also is not locked down to a super long contract. You talk about Wiggins. You know, you can look at it as negative or positive as you want. The way I see it is Michael Knight, not a big LeBron guy. He was talking about, oh, LeBron, prima donna, LeBron, you know, creates these situations for players. I said, first of all, there are very few players in the league that want to get away from LeBron. Most are going to go want to play with that superstar no matter where he's playing. But the second thing is, I thought he was overhyping a little bit. It sounds more and more like a rift is being created here. But I got to imagine part of that issue is how Cleveland is run. This is just an owner that obviously kind of the Comic Sans, that we don't need to go over it, but the letter and all that, but also fired his GM, you know, right when he would be making decisions. I think he has like a 35-year-old guy who's going to be running the show. It's not naturally a free agent destination, so you have to really click on every move you make, because you got to track people the way the Wolves are. You got to have, you know, strong management, strong coaching, superstar players recruiting. That's the three elements you need to have. So I guess, am I wrong in thinking maybe, hey, look, the Wolves, you know who's in charge. It's Tom Thibodeau. There's no question about it. And not only that, but also Tibbs has been around the league. You think he'd have enough intel if he pulls the trigger on this. He knows Kyrie's not going to be that kind of locker room cancer. And then the other thing, too, is I think Jimmy Butler demands respect in the league. I don't think he doesn't seem to have a huge ego. We don't know him outside of the context of, I mean, I guess we can give him a call, right? And ask him. I guess if he has a problem with
Believe
Kyrie.
Believe me, I haven't stopped trying. I think he got a new phone.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I mean, it might have just literally blown up. I mean, we really don't know.
That's also a very real possibility.
But in all seriousness, like, you know, there was some talk of the rift in Chicago and this and that. You always worry about egos. But I'm always of the belief, if you have a strong organization, San Antonio forces you to put your egos aside, right? And you look at all the other ones, Golden State's similar. You know, I think the Lakers have had their issues, but the one thing about going to L.A. is the team will always be bigger than the players, just because of the history there. I'd say the same thing about Boston, right? And I think if you... you know, you have the authority to authority figure in Tibbs. You have structure there. You know who's in charge. You don't kind of have the Cleveland BS. And it's just weird. It's like as soon as you start winning, and I usually believe that's a byproduct of process, as soon as you start winning, some of these problems just go away.
Yeah, you would think so, and Cleveland has done nothing but win and get to the finals.
Right.
Now there's these problems. I'd also like to hit on just real quickly, what a wacky list of teams for Kyrie to have in the top four. Let's go through them real quick. Miami, Deion Waiters is on that team. He just got signed to, a 4-year extension. Kyrie hated playing with Deion Waiters when they were on the Cleveland Cavaliers together. The New York Knicks are a really bad team who, even with Porzingis and Kyrie, they're going to need about maybe five years to be a playoff contender that's really doing serious things in the playoffs. The Spurs have nobody to trade to Cleveland. I mean, is Cleveland really going to take a LaMarcus Aldridge for Kyrie Irving trade? I doubt it. And then the Wolves, even though they're probably the most legitimate of those four teams for him to go to, they still don't have that much. The Cleveland Cavaliers are probably going to be looking for a decent amount when they're asking for trades for Kyrie Irving, and I don't know if Wiggins and the Utah pick are enough for that. So I don't think Kyrie Irving is going to be a GM anytime soon, because this is a very strange list of teams for him to put together to go to.
The thing you have to understand, aside from just maybe just wants to be famous in New York, and the guy turns around the Knicks, which seems hard. If you want to, going from Gilbert to Dolan is not really an upgrade in terms of the owner.
No.
You know, San Antonio is part of the system. I'm with you. Like, you can critique all these things. I don't know. It's funny that these players just kind of want, you know, they are kind of GMs in their own way. Don't really know how that'll shuffle out. I do worry too about Wiggins. Was originally drafted by Cleveland. LeBron didn't have him in that letter. We knew he was going, you know, he was not going to end up in Minnesota. I remember him complaining at the time that, look, who wants me, right? And I think it was actually a legitimate ask. Ricky Rubio asked the same thing towards the end of his tenure in Minnesota. Isn't it a weird situation? Like, Kevin Love's there. LeBron, like, isn't that just a weird deal? Like, Cleveland has to think about that a little bit. Just like they probably liked Wiggins if they drafted him, but how's that chemistry going to work out?
That is going to be very strange if it happens to have the guy that LeBron left out of his comeback come back to the city that LeBron's in. And I also think there's something to be said about him, about Wiggins kind of being in trade talks for the last 2 years of his career. Especially after the hit he's taken this last year, I think somewhat unfairly about his defense and how he's played defensively. I know he's had lapses in defense, but I honestly don't believe he's as bad a defender as a lot of people would tell you he is.
I'm with you.
And so I really hope that Wiggins has just locked himself in a gym with Towns and they have just been working on basketball and stayed away from the media, because I think this does take a little bit of a mental toll on a young guy who's his first few years in the league have been him bouncing around, or the potential to bounce around, and a lot of talks about him ending up in so many different places for a lot of different reasons. And so I think that can have a little bit of a effect on how he approaches games or how he looks at an organization. And I hope he's just staying away from all that and just ready to try and join this new team, this new Timberwolves look.
I think that's very fair. It'll be interesting. He needs kind of an FU season, basically.
Pretty much, he does shut people up.
Before,
have a question for you, because you have the Cleveland friends. You're kind of a little more in tune with some of us, with Cleveland people than some of us. I have a buddy who I talk NBA with all the time. Brennan is my main man when I just want to call somebody up and talk NBA. And his reaction to it was different than anybody I had heard. His reaction was, how selfish is Kyrie that he has gone to 3 straight finals and he just wants out to be the main player when they were a bottom-of-the-barrel Eastern team without LeBron on that squad? Is that the reaction from half of Cleveland, do you think, when they hear this news that Kyrie wants out because he wants to be the main guy?
I think we got to get your friend on with Chris from Cleveland. We can have them hash it out. I don't know. It's actually a very interesting question. I should ask him. I think it's also worth it. Just general NBA fans, we always read the national stuff, you read your local stuff. It's also not a bad thing to go look at kind of the other papers and see what are people saying there. I think that's a very, very fair question. And it does seem selfish. I would really get on him about it if it weren't for the just dysfunction in Cleveland. That has to be at least half the equation, if not more. Because, again, I go back to, you can always find a reason to bicker, but it's weird. When you're winning, everyone's kind of singing Kumbaya and best buddies. And hey, you know what? I will say this. I think a lot of players can learn from LeBron James. He has his faults, and maybe he's creating some drama there. But I do like that he's just, like, chilling on the beach, being like, you know what? No, this is growing pains for the NBA. NFL players have had to deal with this forever. You know what I mean?
It is
really hard when you can't just go out on the court and prove it. This has to be like the most hyped NBA season in a while. And it's so funny because we've seen the Cavs and Golden State dominate for years. And it is so funny that you mentioned the Cavs dominating the East. A, I think maybe Boston's going to present a little more of a challenge next year, but B, it is funny that literally it doesn't matter if you can't get past kind of the one super team. So I don't know. It's growing pains for the NBA. It's growing pains for all the best players out there. And like I said, I think some of us maybe could learn from LeBron and just take a little chill pill and whatever.
Just sit on the beach.
Do LeBron
You know what's
things.
Not growing pains though, Tom?
What is not growing pains?
Buying tickets on SeatGeek. That's
man. What a transition.
What a transition. I've been holding that in for ever since you said growing pains, to be honest with you. Not buying tickets on SeatGeek, that causes growing pains for sure, because buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated. But there's a better way, a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I love going to Twins games in the new ballpark. Such a beautiful venue, such a beautiful place to watch a game, and they're good now this year, which makes it even better, and I can find the best prices on SeatGeek's app. I have it right on my phone, and I love that I'm not a numbers guy, but I can understand that the green dots mean that the prices are better. So that makes it real easy for me to find a really good value to go with my buddies, go with my family. I just went there with my dad and my grandpa, had a great time. SeatGeek helps me find the best value and makes it easier for my listeners even, because they can not only get a great value on tickets, they can use my LONBA code and get $20 off of their SeatGeek purchase. That's LONBA. Get $20 off. So it's a great deal on top of a great deal. That's two wins, Tom. Two wins.
Two wins, baby. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. SeatGeek, good stuff. There's a lot of sporting events in the Twin Cities, a lot of concerts, a lot going on right now. It's a great time to bust that out. Use the code. Become like Colt Molesky, or you just fall in love with SeatGeek.
Head over heels.
Head over heels. What do we want to touch on next? A lot of NBA news.
Speaking of head over heels, sounds like LeBron is head over heels for his new point guard a little bit. Derrick Rose is in Believe Land.
Yes, baby.
You know what? If you had told me 2 years ago that I was getting excited about a Derrick Rose signing, I probably would have told you you're crazy, because I cannot trust his knees. But for $2.1 million compared to what the Knicks paid him last year, over $20 million for a one-year contract, I don't hate it. I don't hate the deal. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I'll be honest with the listeners, and I feel like this is actually an angle I should use with Tibbs at some point. I remember, the Derrick Rose Tibbs Bulls, just because I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but my dad worked in Chicago for a while. My brother still lives there. I think it's crazy to me that guy, who I remember being the hometown hero, all the hype around the MVP, all this, 28 years old, and it's what happens when your knees go, that the wear and tear, the injuries, certainly some off field, off court shenanigans, I'll say, something weird happened there, but But yeah, I mean, it is funny when you how the roller coaster of one player's career, the height of being the hometown hero, the descent of the injury, the, you know, kind of where you're at now, where it's come full circle, and you're excited about it. What kind of impact can he make? It's a 1 year, $2.1 million deal.
Well, I know people mostly focus on games that he missed without even telling the organization or his agent.
Right.
But he did, it's easy to forget, he did average 18 points last year and 4 assists. He is still very explosive. He still had some really great games last year. And I think it helps if he's on a team with LeBron, where LeBron's going to be doing a lot of that slashing to the basket and doing a lot of the dirty work in the paint that I think he was doing with the Bulls, and trying to save him from some of those collisions in the paint, some of those drives where he's going up to the basket and his legs are getting taken out from underneath him, and he can just really kind of run an offense where he's free of all that. I think he can be effective. I think he can still get buckets. I think he can still push the pace of an offense and try and work a defense in transition. And if he's doing all those things and just they manage his minutes so that he's not playing a ridiculous amount in the regular season. Now, that is a big if, because LeBron James was playing a ridiculous amount in the regular season last year. So I'm not sure how good of a job they can do with that. But if they do a few key things, I think he can be really good for this team. And honestly, this is just a really good move because Cleveland hasn't made any moves. Right. Their big move this offseason so far was re-signing Kyle Korver and extending him through the next 3 years. That was their biggest move. And so to be able to grab a point guard, I know they might be losing their star point guard, but even to be compensating with Derrick Rose coming onto the team is a big move for this Cavs team that has literally done nothing.
No, I agree. I think it's interesting. Tom Thibodeau kind of wanted him, or there was rumors that he wanted him. I think they made the right move going with Jeff Teague. I just think, you know, Rose brings that baggage along with him. Having said that, there is some kind of validation having your old coach want to bring you back. I see it as a low risk, high reward move for the Cavaliers. The curiosity for me is I feel like Kyrie, in some sense, didn't want to become Westbrook, kind of get blindsided by a player leaving. I am curious how the team would look if LeBron leaves next year. Rose wouldn't necessarily be part of it, but if he takes off, it's kind of weird. Like, Rose could put himself in a position to maybe not become kind of the face of the Cavaliers, but to kind of strike back at his old team. I mean, I think there is some intrigue there where, you know, he could kind of get back at Chicago if things really don't work out. To me, it's the most interesting, like, $2.1 million signing I've seen in a long time.
For sure. And I don't think Chicago needs any help getting back. I think they're destroying themselves just fine on their own.
That's very fair. What else we got?
Brandon Knight goes down. I think this is a little bit more of a big injury than people would classify it as, just because he had a down season last year, shooting guard for the Phoenix Suns. And he took a little bit of a backseat to Devin Booker for obvious reasons. Devin Booker's a stud. And their point guard, Eric Bledsoe, and Tyler Ulis are both pretty solid guys. Eric's had some problems injury-wise, but those guys are solid. So their backcourt's pretty good. I really like Brandon Knight as an off-the-bench six-man kind of role guy. He had averaged only 11 points a game last season, but the year before he averaged 19 points a game. I think the offense is there for him. And I think it will hurt this team to have him out for the entirety of the season, which is what it looks like. He was injured in a Pam Am game in Miami, I believe it was, that I saw him go down in. And I think you'll notice the offense that he had on the court in the back half of the season more than the front half. I think when Josh Jackson and some of those other young guys are experiencing some of their classic rookie fatigue from the extraordinarily long season and really intimidating season traveling wise too that the NBA presents, I think that's when you'll miss him as somebody who's done that a couple years and can bring some solid offense and some solid shooting to the team. I think you'll notice that on the back half of the season when those rookies are really starting to peter out and starting to hit that kind of gas point of a rookie season.
I like that you gave a little shout out to Brandon Knight. Phoenix Suns actually a really interesting team to me. I've talked about how much I love Booker. I also feel bad. Brandon Knight, I think, has been posterized a few times, and he always kind of he feel like he has this label now of being the guy who gets victimized, and this probably doesn't help. So I think it is important to bring up why he's still in the league, what he offers, all that stuff. Anything else? We got about a minute or two left, and then the people. We got to let the people go for today.
Give me three reasons why the new GM for Cleveland is going to make anything different in Cleveland.
I'm with you. I don't think there's a lot to like. Well, you know what he would do differently is that a guy who could thrive if LeBron leaves? That's actually my number one question. It is people, you know, we're talking about Griffin and is he just kind of overhyped maybe because he does well at the media? I'd argue, and I really thought ESPN did a good job with that piece. I think it was Shelburne, Windhorst, and is it McMenamin is their Cleveland guy? They did a good job showing kind of how a lot of the GM is just kind of soothing everyone's egos and making the puzzle come together. But yeah, I don't know. I think Cleveland's issue starts at the top, but this new GM could make a name for himself if LeBron leaves and he could keep him relevant. I don't know if he can do that, but that's the big question for me.
All right, that's all I got for you guys. Keep going on zone coverage and reading the articles. Again, Alex Berg had a great article on the Wolves being a destination team now. Go read and tell me where I'm wrong on my redrafting of the first round of the NBA for the 2017 draft.
Yeah, we have plenty of exciting stuff, and then for Vikings and Twins fans, we'll keep plugging away. We're even trying to get wild stuff. So yeah, a lot of good stuff on zonecoverage.com. Colton, I appreciate it, my man.
Thank you very much for having me on again.
So for Colton Molesky, I'm Tom Schreier. This has been the Locked On Wolves Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.